This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Lonzo hit me with a reference to Supertramp during the break, and I have to say, a little disappointed in myself. I don't know it.
I think you do. I think you just also picked a part of the song that you were listening to.
I skipped ahead like four times. Yeah. I genuinely don't think I know it, which is rare. Usually, you kind of give me that old school soul sound.
Now you know how Mario feels with half the references you throw out.
Don't get me wrong. I was 100% about to bring Mario in and say, Mario, I don't know how you feel anytime that I talk, because Lonzo just hit me with a reference before my time that I got completely stumped by. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario, NBA analyst, NFL analyst, executive producer of BetMGM tonight, 7 to 11 p.m. on this and fine Odyssey stations everywhere on the BetMGM network. Sup, dog?
Just finding out who Supertramp is, doing a quick Google right now. I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I have not heard of any of these songs, but
You've never heard The Long Way Home? You take the long way home. You've never heard that song before?
Goodbye, stranger.
I hate that song.
For what people also search for, I see Pink Floyd right under there. My dad's the biggest Pink Floyd fan.
Oh, you like Supertramp. Oh, I mean, it's not Pink Floyd, but you'll be into it.
You take the long way home.
You take the long way home.
Okay, not the best rendition, but it's still.
I've never sang and sang the best rendition, but you got the point.
Well, it's one of those songs that you can't sing without the music, because the music is so much better.
That's also true. Hey, Naz Mario from the BetMGM Network. I'm going to get it right eventually. I want you to know
I did it once today, right.
100% called them the San Diego Chargers this morning, so.
Did you really?
Yeah. We were talking about the fact that the Chargers are going down to Sao Paulo on September 5th. They are going to be the first NFL franchise to play on 5 of the 7 continents. I then forgot that Africa was a continent and called them the San Diego Chargers twice.
Well, the San Diego thing, he wrote it on the Sports Flash that I read, because he writes it because he's a journalism guy and he likes to write stuff. So, and I'm going, wait, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm just going to say this, Hatin' Ass Mario. If there's ever a day that you're going to get me, today's the day, because my brain's kicking my own ass today. That's all there is to it.
If it helps, there's one time when we were doing the Bolt Crew podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Apple.
I've taught you well.
There was one time we said San Diego Chargers on it. And, like, you would not believe that was our most commented post, because everyone kept commenting, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. It's not San Diego anymore. And then it, like, turned into a debate of why they left San Diego all in the chat. I'm like, well, one mistake really just led to a fire.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to hosting, buddy. That's how the game gets played, pal. I don't know what to tell you. That's how it goes. All right, we got a bunch.
Yeah, we can't do a what did I get wrong segment on this show.
It just end up being it'd be the last hour of the show every day. It'd just be the last hour.
Be fun.
Yeah. What do you want? All right, we got a lot of stuff we got to get to here, Hatin' Ass Mario. I want to start with this one. And you and I kind of briefly talked about it. I was on your show, BetMGM Tonight, on Tuesday, and we got to talking about the Four Nations faceoff. I said this earlier today. I was genuinely struggling to come up with the last time that I was this excited about an individual game, not involving one of my teams, obviously, right? The last time. And the only thing that I could come up with was the gold medal game from the Olympics last year with LeBron and Steph and the fellas going out there to try to bring gold back to the U.S. where it belongs. Same thing here. I canceled a date with my wife to stay home and watch this game tonight. Buddy, I am jacked up. This Four Nations face-off has not only been incredible, buddy, not only has been incredible, Mario, but it made the NBA look, frankly, quite silly in the lead-up to an execution of their entire All-Star weekend. Where do you fall on the Four Nations face-off? And as an NBA guy, what were your thoughts on, in my opinion, the NBA flat-out getting embarrassed by the NHL last week?
It led to a point where I'm a big NBA guy, obviously, and I'm the most casual NHL fan of all time. Literally do not tune in until the playoffs, and then I do like the fastest catch-up ever on what's going on, and then I watch it. This past weekend, I did not even care a lick about anything happening with the NBA All-Star game. All I wanted to watch was Four Nations. All I did was at a bar was standing up, chanting USA, USA. I felt like I was in Rocky. I don't know what was going on. I was just excited. I was just bleeding red, white, and blue. Like it was just pumped. It's a genius thing that NHL has done. I love that they've done it. I love the buy-in from all the players. I love that even next year they're talking about expanding it even more with more countries. It's just, it's been a home run for hockey. And it's great for hockey because you're getting the brand out even more. Because I really do believe, you know, even after this game, people are going to stay around in hockey. People are going to stay around and tune in because of all the top athletes, guys that are playing in this and go, oh, like, I want more of this action. And hockey guys, every single week, every single game, lay it all out, man. They go all out. They only play 20 minutes on the ice. That's all they got. So they go balls to the walls the whole time. It's amazing. On the NBA side for All-Star, I've came around to this point, and I don't know if it's the most popular thing, but I think we're all forgetting that the NBA All-Star Weekend is not for guys like us. It's not. It is for ages, what, 6 through 18, maybe? And I, you know, called my brother and was talking to him, called with my little nephew. I was like, hey, did you watch the All-Star Weekend? Like, I'm actually curious, doing a little, like, journalism, if you will. And he goes, yeah, like, Eli loved it. He told me he wants to be Wemby. And he's going to be as tall as Wemby. And I go, well, his mom's 5'2". You're 5'9". It's probably not in the gene pool, but, you know, he can shoot for it. But he enjoyed it, and he liked it. And he was talking about basketball. He wanted to go shoot hoops outside, even though there's ice on the ground in Indiana. And I thought, all right, then maybe we're being too hard on this. Maybe we're all crapping on it really hard because we're not the target audience. And the target audience is actually liking it, but that target audience doesn't have a Twitter account or doesn't have an Instagram, can't create its own reel, saying how much they love it, you know, that the Kevin Hart was killing it with jokes, that, you know, the dunk contest with Matt McClung was insane. Jumps over a car, oh my gosh. They don't have the access to do that, so maybe we're a little off on that. Is it still a problem? Yeah. Are we going to get the days of guys going balls to the wall in the All-Star game in the fourth quarter? That's probably gone. Can the world versus USA maybe work for the All-Star game? Let's try it. Why not? Nothing else is working. Also, maybe let's just try not doing a draft, not doing, you know, young guys coming up versus the All-Stars. How about we just try the good old East versus West again and just go from there, you know? Like, that's the thing. Every time this happens, I'm like, I kind of just miss play the hits, East versus West.
Play the hits,
what's
baby.
Wrong with that?
Yeah. I don't have an issue with that. And I'll tell you what I love about the hockey side of it, because we got a few more things I want to get to here on the show with Hayton S. Mario from the BetMGM Network. The other side I like is exactly what you said. Hockey, to me, is a sport that if you want people to love it, they have to experience it. You can't explain it. You can't walk it. They have to see it. They have to experience it. They have to learn it. And when I've got the Canucks and the Yanks dropping gloves at center ice 3 seconds after the puck does, and then again 3 seconds later, and then again 3 seconds later, what it creates for me, if I am maybe like a non-hockey guy, is something that goes, you had my attention but now I'm bought in. And then they experience the hockey, and then they watch the hockey, and then they learn the hockey. And once they learn the hockey, now all of a sudden it's a sport to them. It's not just, oh, I'm going to tune in to watch some Canucks and some Yanks drop and throw hands. Now it's like, oh, also this game's pretty badass. The NHL, I'm going to quote Rich Eisen on this, the NHL cracked the code. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, perfect time to take a sip.
Well, I didn't know you were done. I thought there was more to that. I thought I had a little bit of time there.
Hey, in his defense, you were rolling. When you're rolling, you won't take a breath for like 20 minutes. So
exactly.
I mean, we both have worked with you. So
yeah, when you're good at what you do, you're good at what you do.
Okay,
you
know? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just we know it. Once you get going, it's going to be a little bit.
That's it was very abrupt. Stop, if I'd like to add there too. It was very abrupt. I was like, oh, that's the end of the quote. I thought there was going to be more there.
Joey B just chat real quick because I do think this is an element of it. Joey B just popped in and said, you know who it wasn't great for? Boston, who loses Charlie McAvoy for the rest of the season. And I don't disagree. It sucks for Boston. But here's the thing. Yeah. This is the response to that for me. Maybe it does. It does suck for Boston. You just lost one of the better players in the NHL, maybe for the rest of the season. We'll find out. He's obviously out for tonight's matchup. The NHL is going to gain more viewers from this than anything that the NHL has done in literally a decade or more. The NHL has not allowed their players to play in the Olympics for 2 decades now. Their players aren't involved in other sports in other ways. The NHL is going to get more viewers out of this than anything they've done maybe in my entire lifetime, Mario. And while it sucks for the Boston Bruins, if it costs them Charlie McAvoy, but they bring home the trophy and everybody in America gets to beat the chest and start screaming, you know, bleep Canada like a South Park episode because it's our sport now. Now, all of a sudden, American fans are going to jump in because if there's one thing you and I have both learned about sports, we love a winner above everything. We love a winner even if he killed a guy, allegedly Ray Lewis.
Yeah, like Lou, we'll get behind it. Not even kidding. But the thing to add on top of it, yes, that stinks that there's an injury happen, but you mentioned the more eyeballs comes more money, comes more revenue, comes more ads, comes more popularity, more guys, you know, big all-star players on magazines doing ads. You know, what we see Connor McDavid doing an ad for Skims and see you later, SGA. You know, that kid, you know, who knows what's going to happen with it. The more eyes, the better for this sport. And, you know, they could have a tough time, not even a tough time, but you know, NHL playoffs is fantastic, but guess who it competes against? The NBA playoffs. That's really hard. When the MLB has their playoffs, yeah, it's football season. Football takes up a lot of their time, but that's the only sport that's really in playoffs at that moment is October, and people love it. You know, NHL doesn't have that kind of pleasure of when it's playoff time. It's the sole focus of what's going on. They have to compete with someone else. And in down year in the NBA, where everyone's complaining about the ratings and complaining about the style of play, you even have one of the best defenders of this generation complaining that, you know, there's no basketball anymore. It's just who can shoot better threes. We have all this happening. The time is now to take advantage of it. And they're doing it in a spectacular fashion. And, oh, by the way, as this is all happening, the talent level of the NHL is exceptional. And they have a young stud that's supposed to be the next Gretzky that's supposed to, you know, take the mantle, if you will, from McDavid when he gets older, who just took it from Sidney Crosby, and Connor Bedard that's on the rise. And guess what market he's in? Chicago. That's perfect. That's a big market, man. You can market the living crap out of that. So it's, look, the injury sucks, but in a long term, more money's coming, a bigger audience is coming, more ads are coming. All that's great and fantastic stuff for the sport, and hopefully they can build on it. And gosh darn it, guys, go USA!
There it is. There it is.
No maple syrup. No.
All right, real quick, because I wanted to get to this too. On Tuesday, I got asked about I didn't think it was a hot take. Apparently, it's a hot take. Horvy said it was a hot take. I think PJ said it was a hot take. I've had a bunch of people on Twitter coming after me. It was a hot take. I'm not going to play the whole response, but here is a little bit of that, and then I want your reaction. Said you got an issue. Is it Jani Broom? Is it Cooper Flagg? Is it the fact that the SEC is having the best individual sports season of any conference in the history of conferences playing sports? What was it? Because you rolled your eyes at me Tuesday. You told me yesterday you got a take. What is it?
One, it hurts that the SEC
You agree with that, though, don't you?
I do agree.
Yep.
Which hurts as an ACC guy with a North Carolina fan because they kind of always owned college basketball. That was always like the breaking call. Now they're just sad. Broom versus Flagg. Broom is by far a better defender. He's by far a better rebounder. His passing, I think, is a little underrated. He had a very great pass against Arkansas last night where the window was extremely tight. If that was Mahomes, though, it would be ESPN top 10 the next day. But Flag's shot creation ability and his ability to attack downhill, I think, is very unique and better than Broom's, and it's going to really benefit him in the long run. His shooting percentage is also, from the distance and free throw line, is better than Broom's. Flag's ceiling, I think, is the thing that gets me on that convo. It's where what he can be when he's 22 is insane. It's wild. I mean, I go back to Team USA practicing it over the summer, and you know, you always hear about there's always a young guy that stands out, and the guy that stood out was Cooper Flagg. That's what all the pros were saying. Ant, Durant, Curry, LeBron, they're all like, Cooper Flagg, man, that guy's kind of special. And then you even ask the coaches, like, dude, he was unfearful. He attacked him, which is crazy, because if I was 18 years old and I had to go to Team USA camp, I am absolutely pooping down my leg, and I am probably throwing up at every point because I'm going, holy hell, I have to just go guard Kevin Durant. I'm going to have to go guard AD. I'm going to have to go guard Curry on a switch. I'm going to have a panic attack. But he didn't have that, man. The defensive stuff, like Johnny Broome's defensive stuff is insane. His shot block percentage is top 20 in the country. You have just 2.7 blocks per game. With a young guy like Flagg, that stuff always comes later, right? Defense and basketball, for people that, you know, probably don't think much of it, it's actually really complicated, and this is going to sound even crazier, but in the NBA, it gets more complicated because it's more of what can you live with and what do you just want to try to take away. And you see rookies a lot of time and young guys just get really taken advantage of that and get exposed very, very quickly, and you can't hide on the floor. It's very hard to hide when there's just only 10 guys out there and there's smart enough players where they go, we're going to set screens until you switch on one of our best offensive players, and then we're going to attack the living crap out of you. And if you come for a double, we're going to swing the ball to the other side, and boom, there's a three. That's going to happen to Flagg probably his first couple years until he figures it out. The exception to that is Wembanyama, and that's just because he's a generational talent. So I still lean Flagg over Broom, but that being said, if you're a team like coming up in this draft that, let's say you're like a Grizzlies type, I feel like that would be a good example, even though they're really young. A Broom would be perfect for you because he's a mature, older prospect. And those guys you've seen in the NBA constantly kind of pick up right away and are able to adapt really quickly. Where Flagg, yes, he's going to be exceptional right away, but there's going to be a lot of rookie mistakes that you see or just bad shots in tough situations because he's going to be forced into because he will be the go-to scorer.
Don't disagree. I just think you're underselling what Johnny Broome can do, which is everything you said from everywhere on the court. And I do think I will say I agree. I think Cooper Flagg is better at there were a couple of things he might be a little bit better at. I do think putting the head down and getting to the rack is one of those things for sure. But I think the difference is guys can play up on Cooper Flagg because of that. Johnny Broome can do that. He can also knock down a shot from anywhere on the damn floor, which means you can't just get in his grill and play totally physical defense. On top of that, if Johnny Broome gets to a spot where he goes down low, you can't collapse on him because he is definitely a better distributor of the basketball in traffic than Cooper Flagg is, and that's what makes him deadly to me.
Yes, and that is an important factor. It's like if you collapse on him, and that's a very scary thing to do, right, is to be a great passer from the post. That is a very underrated skill. That's something that Jokic gets credited for that does better than anyone, is you can't double him because he sees above it and he's able to make that pass. Not the extra pass that you see coming, it's the one that you don't see coming that he's able to make. And I will give Broome this too. You know, we mentioned that Flagg's kind of better on the point of attack. There are moments where like Flagg, I think, struggles to kind of control his body. And that's completely to, hey, I'm 19, 18 years old. I grew really quickly, and I'm still finding my feet sometimes. That's why I always point that to, where it's like, oh, he can't control his body. That's because, dude, the guy's still freaking finding it. And he's still a kid. He's not a grown man yet. And, you know, he's probably going to grow another inch or two when he's in the NBA because it's, you know, just of his age. Where Broome, when he attacks or when he's around the basket, he has better body control. And, you know, he's a little bit stronger with the basketball. Again, just stuff that happens when, as you get older, you get along the way.
Hating to ask Mario. Mario Heron is an NBA analyst, an NFL analyst, and a misser of most references. He's also the EP of BetMGM tonight on the BetMGM Network, 7 to 11 p.m. on this and fine Odyssey stations everywhere. Joins us every Thursday at 9 o'clock to talk a little ball. Big Dog, appreciate you. You're the best.
Of course. Make sure you guys stay tuned tonight. John Sally, former NBA champion, on with us tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. So it's going to be really exciting to get some NBA takes from him. So make sure you guys stay tuned, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Look at you with the get. I'm here for it. See you next week, pal. Hating ass Mario Fight Club. Next, Rashad Beard to wrap up the show. All coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Fight Club. Before we get to the Fight Club, I want to invite you, please join the stream, because during the stream, Mario and I just had a discussion about UFC and the fact that Pimbleton will be fighting Chandler, and I didn't think it was real, and he's telling me it is real. And then Rob and I were just talking about something that just popped up on my X feed, which is wasn't on my list, but we got to talk about it a little bit. Goldberg will get his final match in the ring, because he never got to say goodbye. Yeah. And when, last time it was pretty bad. James on the stream saying bitter Brett. Yeah, Brett's never going to get over that. Who do you want to see Goldberg wrestle in his final match? I don't want to see Goldberg. And that is exactly what your voice sounds
like.
That's
exactly how I'd say it, too.
Yes.
Goldberg will be wrestling my patients. Here's the thing. Bill Goldberg, when I was a kid, was one of the single most exciting things that has ever happened in professional wrestling. Bill Goldberg, when I was a kid, made wrestling fun, and I was all in for that. Bill Goldberg was a blast to watch. He provided, with the streak, one of the coolest things that I've ever gotten to watch as a kid. Here's the thing I didn't know as a kid. He wasn't that good when he was good. Now he's definitely not that good.
You know what?
I'm out.
Neither was Hulk Hogan. There's quite a few wrestlers who were not that good. They were not. But according to what Michael Cole said on the Logan Paul podcast, it doesn't matter, because I don't know if you saw any of it. I know it was on Logan Paul, and you hate him too.
Correct. He's a terrible person.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Like, as a person, he's a bad person.
All right. I don't know him personally. Apparently, you do. You are the Stephen A. Smith.
If you go out and act and do things as a bad person, even if you're acting, you're a bad person.
Okay. So, a lot of bad actors out there. So, Michael Cole was on Impulsive, I believe is the name of the podcast, with Logan Paul, and talked about a lot of stuff, including he said, we're an entertainment product, and it's emotional connection, whether you're a bad guy or a good guy, that makes the difference. It's one of the reasons we're on Netflix. especially with Netflix, we have so many new viewers tuning in everywhere. We travel. People come up to me and say, I've never watched WWE before. I never understood that what it was. I thought it was just a bunch of old men running around in tights. Now they're realizing it's actually an episodic television show week in and week out. So he went on to say that it's not professional wrestling. That is an episodic TV show. My question for you is that bad that Michael Cole, the head announcer for WWE, been with the company for 28 years, is saying this? Does that hurt the product? Does it help the product? Or is that where we live now as far as perception of professional wrestling?
Look, I don't have an issue with it. How many of us had our opinions about professional wrestling change? Some of us when we were young and we loved it. Now we're not so much. Listen, there's a lot about professional wrestling that as I have grown and developed and become, Liberob the Woke Warrior, there's a lot of ugly side to professional wrestling that has disillusioned me to it. Hulk Hogan is in that mix. And I'm not talking about his political slant. I'm talking about the fact that he was a pretty bad person his whole career. And then also the racist stuff.
Probably some actors that you watch all the time on TV and movies, not good people.
Some of them
have killed people.
I mean, there's
things like that that go on.
I don't disagree,
which is why. They beat their wives. They do a bunch of things. They say things they shouldn't say, but you go and see those movies.
I don't disagree, which is why I still watch professional wrestling, even though in the, pardon the phrase, dark side of the ring. I still watch it, and there are times, like when Logan Paul's out there, that I have to go, even if I hate it, separate art from artists. That's kind of a necessary requirement. There are some people who cross that line. I'm not watching Logan Paul. I hope I don't get in trouble for this. WWE comes to town, Logan Paul's out there, I'm going to be the dude that sits on his butt. I will not boo. I will not cheer. I will not react. I will not hold a sign. I will do nothing, because that's how you make somebody go away.
I will say, if we have the opportunity to interview Logan Paul, unless you put your foot down and find a way to where it's my name's on the show, we're not interviewing him. I would love to interview Logan
Honestly,
Paul.
Honestly, I probably would.
Even if it meant you weren't in the room for
I would
love to interview him.
I'd 100% say, bring him in, you do a podcast with him, because I got no interest.
He's an amazing wrestler. He's probably better than your favorite wrestler of all time.
Don't care, because he's a bad person.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so
there are lines. The next movie you watch, I want a list. I'll make a list of the actors and what they've done off screen, and you can tell me why you're not being hypocritical.
Hang on, because of the things that have been done, and the level at which they have been done repeatedly and a career built off of it. I'm not saying that it's like you're either a good person or Rob Brown doesn't participate. What I'm saying is there are levels, there are limits. And when you're a bad person and you go out and celebrate it and go, hell yeah, I am. This is not as a character, as a person.
So you're saying you're selective. So it's okay for some, but not for others. That's fine.
No,
I mean, that's how people do things.
Let me repeat what I just said, because you ignored it the thing again.
I did not. It didn't explain away what I just said.
When someone acts that way, and then they go out and they utilize it, celebrate it, promote that about themselves as a way to make money, buddy, that's where I'm at. And that's what this cat's done. So, yeah, I understand, like, there's going to be a lot of people out there in the world that I don't like them as people, but I still have to, they're still going to be a part of my entertainment, my art, my life, whatever. When you get to the point that they begin to celebrate it and repeat it, et cetera, and utilize it to promote themselves, that's where I get
it. All right, we're going to move on from this. And I will say that one of the worst things about you standing up is we can't try to watch each other crack,
buddy,
because we can't see each other's face, and that takes some of the fun out of it. Because
buddy,
we are having fun, by the way. Don't oh no, they're fighting again. No, we're having a debate. All right, I was going to talk about the setup for Ludwig Kaiser versus Logan Paul, but since you don't want to talk any more Logan Paul, I think that's going to happen at WrestleMania. Apparently that's when you're going to go make a sandwich or something. Ricky Saints' first opponent is going to be Wes Lee. I'm really looking forward to this.
I am too. I think that match can absolutely go.
Can Saints keep up with Wes Lee?
Number one, much like with the San Diego Chargers, it's going to take me a very long time to get the name right. It just is. The answer to me is yes, I think he can. I honestly think Ricky Saints, also drop the S, can it just be Ricky Saint? It's
Listen,
a better name.
It's one of your favorite and most hated words all at the same time, Saints. I know. So, I mean.
As a wrestler, I think the dude can be very good, but I think he's one of these cats that is going to be better as an entertainer than a wrestler, better with a mic, better with the promos, better with the emotion, better as a storyteller, and I think that's where he makes the money. I'm intrigued to see where he goes with this, and I will say on top of that, part of the reason why is, let's be real, my dude's got an axe to grind. He is one of these cats that didn't leave AEW to go to WWE because it's a bigger company, more money, better opportunity. He left because there was a bunch of very clearly a bunch of headbutton and disagreements and bad blood behind the scenes, and he wanted out and then got the offer. I think he comes out to prove that he is a fantastic pro wrestler, and I think you're going to get a slapper.
You listen to anything that The Undertaker's been saying the last couple weeks, he's big time endorsed by The Undertaker. Ricky Saints helped The Undertaker at training for matches and also helped train Michelle McCool before she returned. And this was even before he became a wrestler, and he gave him some help to get him started. So that's when you got the backing of The Undertaker, that helps. Speaking of you know, maybe you need to now rescind your distaste, your disdain, your smirks every time the CW is brought up, because
they're kind of doing real good right now.
NXT is killing it right now on CW, even to the point where it's the old-fashioned wrestling. Things are cut off at the end, and you don't know what happened because they stick to the television time, which is, so you've got an influx of AEW talent with Saints and others, and you've got TNA coming in, which has got to be helping that brand also. Lexus King has challenged Moose, who is the X Division champion.
And is a dude, by the way.
Yeah, he is. Also, I believe either married or their boyfriend and girlfriend with Jordan Grace. Not Jordan Grace. Anyway, someone help me. Her name escapes me. I can see her. She's buff and she's the stuff. Also, the Hardys. I know you don't. We're going down another road here. Hardys are going to be on NXT next week.
Okay. Like, all right.
Hang on.
I put the Hardys in with Goldberg. It's not that I dislike. I mean, obviously, Jeff's got issues, and I just don't trust that Jeff has worked through the issues. Jeff is one of those cats that I'm like Jeff by himself, I'm not going out of my way for.
I don't know why
Jeff,
I second guess myself. It is Jordan Grace.
Jeff by himself is a guy I'm not responding. Prove to me, because he just keeps going back. And I understand relapsing is tough, and I understand it's a mental disorder, and that's all well and good. But also, you got to do better. Matt, the problem is, the dude is not broken, delete, 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 like a gimmick. I mean, physically broken. The man can't walk to the ring and make me believe it.
He's also friend of the show.
Hopefully
he wins next week. I was wrong. Jordan Grace, not with Moose. She's with, and I just read it there, Jonathan Grissom. Okay. I'm trying to get a lot of things in here because Rashad, that's his name, is coming up. One more thing.
You're just having trouble with names
segment. No, it's because I really am trying to squeeze a lot of stuff in here.
Go ahead, I'll shut up.
LFG it's shoot tough enough. It's tough enough as a shoot, okay? It's realistic, it's behind the scenes. You know, tough enough, they had him do all a bunch of extra stuff and, you know, run with this alligator or whatever kind of thing. This, they are actually learning the business. Yeah. I've watched one episode so far. It's on A&W, and I love it.
You
need to check it out if you're not watching.
I've only seen clips of it. The clips I've seen of it, I'm all in. The clips I've seen of it with Bubba Ray, there was one where he got into it with a dude yesterday, and he's like, yo, why are you being disrespectful? The kid's like, oh, you shoot my hand. He's like, yo, I'm a wrestler, but what you'll learn about wrestlers very quickly is that we're also psychologists, and I see your nervous tics. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, and then when the guy walked away, they settled for a second. He's like, the second part, when he did that, that was great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so they're so good, you don't know if they really mad or not.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I kind of dig it, to be honest. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us in the next segment. We'll check in on the Panthers offseason when we come back. The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate. Final segment of the radio program here on a Thursday Morning. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on the radio. It is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. He is Lonzo. And joining us now, ordinarily does so an hour before, but just absolute weather chaos across the Carolinas, meeting up in Charlotte, North Carolina. They got a little snow, had to adjust some schedules. Rashad Beard is not just an excellent coverer of the Carolina Panthers. He's also a dad and had to dad stuff, but he made some time to jump in for the final segment. What's up, big dog?
What's going on, guys? Man, happy to be here. Played in some snow yesterday, so that was pretty cool.
I like that. I like that. Rashad, I like the snow for about 9 to 12 minutes, and then I'm ready to move on.
All right, really quick, played in the snow. How does Rashad play in the snow?
So you got to understand, I used to live in upstate New York, so like I used to really play in the snow.
Well, I get it. I'm from Ohio, so I definitely get it.
A couple snow angels made some snowball fights, you know, a couple things like that. You know, then went back inside. Not enough to, you know, do some real damage, but had some fun.
This is good. So you covered the hair when you do the snow angel? Because I'm trying to picture
I mean. For sure. Everything covered for sure.
Yeah.
You wouldn't understand, Rob, with your short hair.
I walked outside earlier for 15 seconds. I came back in. I was friggin' miserable. Like, I'm good. I'm all right. Got a heater inside. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. You can find them on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. Make sure you check out and subscribe to their YouTube channel as well at Panther Nation Podcast. Let's start with the open-ended, bud. Where are we at? What are we talking about? I've been checking in on the pod every now and then, listening to the mocks, listening to the breakdowns. If I said open mic take over for 2 minutes, what's your thing right now?
Yeah, a couple of interesting coaching changes that happened over the past week. You know, we got in a new strength and conditioning coach, which is what I think is probably one of the better moves made this offseason. John Hinks, who comes from the Minnesota Vikings, highly touted, worked with the Philadelphia Eagles, also has a Super Bowl ring attached to his name with the Eagles. So I would think that that's probably one of the better hires. I'm excited about that because, listen, we've been dealing with a lot of injuries the Carolina Panthers have over the past couple of years. And for us to get a new strength and conditioning coach, and not only that, bring in Denny Kellington, who is also the vice president of player health and performance. That's going to hopefully reduce some of the issues that we've been having from an injury standpoint, because I got to be honest with you, Rob, we probably have one of the worst, health industries, and our injuries are terrible, bro. We had one of the worst training staffs in the history of the league. And so we've got that fixed, and we got strength and conditioning coaching here. A new vice president of player health and performance, and then also a new offensive assistant, Keyshawn Coleman. A couple interesting moves that were made in the coaching room. So I like it. I like it.
Rashad, I don't think a lot of fans understand when you hear strength and conditioning coach. It's like, all right, guys, going to go in there and kind of teach the boys how to properly weightlift, I guess. It really is more about making sure guys are taking care of their body in a way that prevents injury. One of my big issues right now as a Saints fan is the folks that are running the health and safety and well-being in New Orleans for both the Saints and the Pelicans. Bro, we might be the most injured pair of teams in any city in America, and yet we just keep re-upping with the same staff to the point that it's driving me up a wall. I don't think people really know how big of a deal it is to have somebody that's going to come in there, not just to make the boys stronger, but to make sure they are as resilient as possible. This could theoretically be like a turning point of one hire that could keep a J.C. Horn healthy down the line, for instance.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. So I'm excited about that. I think, you know, there's a lot of casual fans that don't really care about this kind of stuff. But if you're really a fan of the game and you're really a fan of the Panthers, this should make you excited. And it's definitely something I covered on my show on Tuesday. And I think a lot of my listeners were excited about this hire as well. So I like this. This is a really good move for the Panthers. And to see that the better half of the opposite half of the coaching staff get renewed, right? We're getting some new guys in the building. This is really good. We're keeping the main guys, obviously, Canales, Evero, all these guys are hanging around. But to get some new position coaches and things like that to ensure that this team is continuing to get better is much, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So I like it.
Speaking of J.C. Horn, I was scrolling around some Reddit sites and message boards yesterday, and obviously there's been some frustration with the kid just because of the injury history and all that. You're looking at probably having to re-sign, potentially extend him, or make a decision sooner rather than later. Now that we're a couple of years into the career, you've dealt with some injuries. You've also seen the kid, I genuinely believe, play at a Pro Bowl level when he's been able to stay healthy. Is this guy a long-term Panther?
Oh, yeah. You have to. You got to sign him. We saw what it could be this year. It was healthy for the bulk of the season, obviously with a couple garbage games at the end, did not play. But I think that this is a great, great, great thing. J.C. Horn is a great player. We know what he's capable of. I think he needs some help on the opposite side. But for the most part, J.C. is very solid, and I trust what he can do. He's very, very good, shutting down some of the top guys in the NFC South. So I like it.
NFL announced yesterday, Rashad Beard, that the salary cap would be going up for a second consecutive year. Over the last 2 years, cap going up roughly 53 and some change million dollars. When you heard that, did anything jump off? Does that change anything? Obviously, it opens up another 20-some-odd million dollars worth of cap space for everybody. But, yeah. You know, I know in New Orleans, obviously, we got a ton of problems. This is a massive help for us. Where does that impact you guys?
Yeah. I think we kind of anticipated this increase, so doesn't really change much for us. I think you got to extend some guys that are currently on the roster. We just talked about J.C. Horn. I think he's one of the big names that you got to get done. Outside of that, man, we don't have a lot of guys to re-sign. Man, that's the great thing about this offseason. It's going out there and getting external talent to make this roster better. Obviously, T. Higgins is not one of those guys because he just is planning to get franchise tags. So a lot of Panther fans want us to go out there and get a top-tier wide receiver. Don't know if that's going to happen, but we don't have a ton we need to do from a keeping our own guys. Just a matter of, you know, keeping J.C. Horn. Maybe Shaq Thompson, not sure what they're going to do there, but I'm excited. I think it's going to, we have some moves we can make to clear up more money. I think right now we're sitting at $24.8 million, and there's a bunch of room to recoup from that. If you go cut some dead weight and redo some restructures, can probably get up to about 50 or so million. So we're in a good spot. We're in a good spot financially. So shout out to the Panthers and shout out to Dan Morgan and Tillis.
I was going to say, and we've had a conversation a couple of times this week about Dan Morgan. I am now convinced of the fact that Dan Morgan told Dave Tepper, I take this job under one condition. It's that you get out of my way and you let me cook. You add that to some pretty beneficial contracts, to some draft opportunities over the past couple of years, and the fact that he's being allowed to run this thing. Buddy, I'm more optimistic about the NFL draft for you guys this year than I have been in a hot minute.
Yeah. I think the draft is going to be very interesting. We got a lot of picks, definitely a lot of opportunity at 8, whether we stay there or trade back. I think we're in a good position. Kind of let the draft come to us and do what we need to do. I think there's going to be a lot of talent left at 8, which I think a lot of people are talking about potentially trading back. I think that's probably the best case scenario, depending on who is there. Obviously, you got a guy that you really, really want, you got to take him. But if you have the opportunity to trade back, let's do that. Let's get some more picks because we need more talent. And the more you can build in the draft, the better off your roster is going to be, because guess what? You can spend more money on other things, right? And you can save money to pay Bryce Young, i.e. what the Eagles have done with their roster, right? The Eagles are drafting very well, but they're also able to pay a lot of guys. But nobody looks at that. You got to look at what their drafts are doing. They're able to play so many rookies that they're able to play a couple of big names, and it all works out. That's how you are able to build a sustainable roster, is drafting well. So we have to knock this draft out the park. A little underwhelming with this current draft. I think there's a lot of potential with the past draft, but a lot of injuries that we dealt with, those guys have to come back healthier. Again, goes back to the strength and conditioning and training conversation that we just had. Hopefully we can get better there. Those guys develop, and we can stack some draft classes, and I think we'll be just fine.
I agree. I think you brought up the Eagles. I talked about that. I think Rashad Beard, there is an entire philosophy shift coming to the NFL because of the Philadelphia Eagles, right? You went, you got your quarterback, you believed in him, you invested in him, you built around him, you built your offensive and defensive lines through the draft, you built your linebacker core through the draft, you brought in free agents at the skill position spot. Not only do I think that's the philosophy NFL teams are going to adapt, the minute the Super Bowl was over, one of the first thoughts I had, Rashad, was I think Carolina is set up as well as anybody else to just immediately start running with the blueprint. Teams like the Saints, they can't do that right now. They don't have that option. You guys are set up to adopt that philosophy. I think you got a GM who wants to do it. You guys stick the landing on this draft like the Eagles have the last couple of years. I think that upward trajectory we've been talking about is putting a rocket on it.
Yeah, and I 100%. And you look at what the Eagles did. They were able to win a Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts on a rookie deal and outside the rookie deal, right? They got him paid and still were able to get it done. So the blueprint, like you said, is there. You know, everybody talks about, you know, taking advantage of that Super Bowl window and getting it done when you have your quarterback on a rookie deal. The Eagles did that, but they also extended their window, right? So there's two ways. They won both ways. So I want people to understand that. So it's not the end of the world if we go out there and give Bryce Young his bag. We can still get it done, but it all starts with the draft. You know what I mean? So we got to draft well. It starts and ends there.
Andy Dalton coming back for another couple of years is the backup for Rashad Beard. I think it's great. I think the way that Bryce Young's been talking about him, fantastic. I think you got a guy that's reliable back there, knows the game well. I love everything about the decision to bring him back for 2 years. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's continuity. A lot of Panthers fans are kind of hating on this. It's weird. Panthers Twitter is a weird place. It's a very weird place, but and I try to stay away as much as I can. But obviously, I have a job to do, so I'm on there. But yeah, man, re-signing Andy Dalton is a very good move. It's continuity, right? And the end of his deal aligns with the end of Bryce Young's rookie contract, right? So you're gonna have that veteran backup until Bryce Young becomes a veteran. That just makes sense, right? It just makes sense to keep Andy Dalton around, help him get mentored up, and you need a viable backup. You cannot win in this game without having a viable backup. Just throwing somebody out there off the street is not it. And you got him for, you know, $4 million a year. That's not bad. Like, we got to chill out. This is a good signing, and I think it's going to align, like I said, with the end of Bryce Young's deal. So the rookie will become the veteran, and then at that point we can look elsewhere for backup.
Totally agree. Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. Find him on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, go find him on YouTube. Make sure you get subscribed. Hit that bell, because I know as we get closer to the draft, the boys are going to be cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a lot of content, draft. Yeah, combine next week. So we got a lot. A lot's going to be coming.
Appreciate you, big dog. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
Appreciate y'all.
Anytime. Rashad Beard, absolute icon, legend of the game. That's it for us. Y'all have a great rest of your day. We appreciate you being here. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Come back tomorrow, 6 till 10 a.m. We do it all over again on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.